Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is April 21st, 2020.
Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the look to the Holy One who suffered and died for you. Look to the Holy City. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, phone request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, text Dan on his cell first and call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news in the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio. Hang on here. I'm not listening.
I was taking care of some business there. Okay, where are you at?
We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the international YouTube and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base, like places like Moscow, Russia Federation,
Riyadh,
Saudi Arabia, Istanbul, Turkey, and
Istanbul. In Istanbul. Okay. I'm just telling you so you'll know next time.
Go ahead, do it.
No.
Okay, in good old cities of the USA like Chicago, Illinois, San Jose, California, Newark, New Jersey, Damascus, Syria, and this week, Wichita, Kansas is still the largest group of listeners to our radio program, which podcast later tonight. Boy, my throat's dry.
Yeah, well, you need to drink. Here, have some water. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Brant77. And now for dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we'll skip over that part. But well, first we got a song. Let's hear the song, and then we'll go into everything.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way.
The song's fine, we just can't hear it.
ground. His blessings will flow, lift you above the storm. Like the thief in the night, he'll be coming soon. Could be morning, night or noon. Are you watching for that blessed hour to come? He's always on call. He wants to save a lost. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory. One more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes. To meet your needs.
Okay, we're back. Yeah, and I'm sorry, folks, if you hear noise in the background, because it's probably picking up my air conditioner that just picked. It's probably picking up my air conditioner that just kicked on. Anyway, I can turn Elijah, shut off that air conditioner. That's talking to my son. He'll go turn off the air conditioner and we'll be all fine to go. That summertime's coming and there's just no way around that. We're gonna the air conditioner always makes noise during the summertime. But anyway, and it is nice and warm here. Beautiful day outside.
It's hot outside.
Yeah, you got stuff planted this week, right?
Yep, I got everything in, but I still got to plant my lavender and my corn.
Lavender and corn, that seems a funny combination. What's the lavender for?
Keep the cats out of my plants.
Keep the cats out of your
and
plants.
And I like the smell of it anyway. It's an herb. I don't know if you can eat it or not, but it says it's an herb, so I don't know. I have to research it.
I
just like the smell of lavender. It's one of my favorites.
I know those cats lay havoc to the garlic. They just like to roll around in it, I guess they like the smell of it. Who would have known that? Anyway, so back to the program. Anyway.
Actually, you know, in all reality, it probably helps keep the bugs, the ticks, and the fleas off of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway. Anyway, many Americans out there are still not convinced that they, you know, I think it's because they don't really have the virus or they don't know somebody that did. But if you look up the facts, especially in countries where they either couldn't do anything about it because they're backwards countries, or just thought it wouldn't be that bad, like Ecuador. Ecuador didn't have a shelter-in-place order or anything like that. And I seen videos and pictures of bodies in the streets, nowhere to put them, and even on the beaches where it looks like they just must have went to, it's sad, it looks like they must have went to the beach to die, and they died on the beaches, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So let's go into this report.
Yeah, the numbers are just staggering, really wild numbers, but I talked to several people today. I was in like 5-6 different places, and everybody I talked to has been around nobody that has it, doesn't know anybody that has it, and there's 300 and some cases over there, so I'm
no, but you're 300 and some cases. Let me say this. Wichita, Kansas, it used to have about 600,000 people, but in Sedgwick County, you're talking about a place that's about 1 million people. So if you're talking about how many cases?
There was 300 and some last I checked.
So
I don't know.
300 and some among a group of 1 million people, that's real possible. But let's go into this and see what this says. Okay.
Okay, the coronavirus killed more Americans in the last 17 days than the regular flu kills in an entire year. Today's U.S. death hit 2,800. Mike Adams, April 4th, 2020. In the last 17 days, the Wuhan coronavirus has killed more Americans, 35,087, than the regular flu kills in an entire year, 34,157 for last year.
Stop. So now everybody that's saying that this hasn't been a whole year. You get the picture.
Yeah, it's been 2 months.
It's been 2 months, and so, you know, anybody that says that, well, it's about like the flu, no, this is in 2 months.
A little over 2 months. It was end of January, 1st of February, we started getting hit with it. Okay, in obituaries last...
In obituaries.
It obliterates any last shred of the argument still heard across the independent media that the coronavirus is no worse than the flu. The coronavirus remains the number one cause of death in America on a day-to-day basis, clocking in at 2,804 deaths just today. Total deaths in the U.S. will exceed 46,000 tomorrow, confirming our earlier projection that estimated 46,000 to 93,000 deaths from the coronavirus in the USA by the end of July. It's not even the end of April, and we're already beyond the 45,000. At the time we made the projection, it was dismissed as crazy by the same people who still claim the coronavirus is no worse than the flu. Those are the people who can't do math.
Okay, well, if you do the figures, if you break it down to the figures, this is what it is. It's the leading cause of death in the United States as of right now.
Well, if you just look at some of the places like nursing home, 40 people died. Well, if they get the flu, but they won't have 40 people die. And if they get the flu, maybe one out of a 40 die from the flu. But there aren't 40 people in one place, 50 people in one place, 20 people in one place. That's not the flu.
Okay. Go on.
Okay. According to the Fast Challenge publishers, such as the Wall Street Journal, the coronavirus is less lethal than the regular flu and only kills 1 in 10,000 people. The bizarre claim, which has now been exhaustively debunked by a rigorous analyst of the WSJ's fake news, falls apart on its own when looking at the raw numbers of the coronavirus deaths. Today, April 21st, the virus killed 2,804 Americans, and it's been killing more than 2,000 Americans per day for the most of the days across the last 2 weeks. Now that our mathematical projection model has been proven correct yet again, it's time to look where America was headed, if not for the lockdown.
Okay, stop.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this person, you know, most people like him out there in talk radio and everything else. He's pretty, he's an independent guy. This is Mike Adams. They call him the Health Ranger. And, you know, he's pretty iron back. I had him on with me and talked with him many, many years ago. But anyway, he's a pretty good guy, but you know, really need to listen to this. This is the numbers. This is the facts. Go ahead.
Had the coronavirus been allowed to replicate with no social distancing, no lockdowns, and no wearing of masks, the nation would have seen daily deaths continue rising far beyond 2,800 per day. By July, our projection shows they would have reached 80,000 deaths per day.
Right.
The fact that we began the lockdowns allowed the U.S. to avert over 2 million deaths by July. Yet, because the lockdowns worked, the scientifically illiterate people have declared the lockdowns weren't necessary. It's ironic, isn't it? The very people claiming that they want to end the lockdowns won't do the very thing that would help end the lockdowns, wearing masks. Masks allow us to restore freedom and reopen our society. Combined with zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C, plus widespread testing, I believe we can end the lockdowns and restart the economy without initiating an explosion in new infections. Yet I hear a lot of protesters right now shouting things like, give me liberty or give me death. Why not get both liberty and life by responsibly wearing masks in public to make sure asymptomatic carriers don't infect others?
Okay, well, we got something important thing I want to address. You know, there's a thing that says 94% of New York City COVID deaths had pre-existing conditions. Yeah, absolutely. But it goes back to the fact that those pre-existing conditions, I have pre-existing conditions. And yeah, and I'm looking at here at the same restaurant that just popped up about Sweden. Sweden just changed their numbers, if you need to go back and look, and they're in a real dire place. They've increased dramatically in the last few days because they didn't lock down. But let's go back to the 94%. I have pre-existing conditions. Otherwise, I'm pretty healthy. I can get through the regular flu. I do it off and on for years. I get the flu, and I don't die. But because I am an insulin-dependent diabetic, I have asthma, and I take something for my blood pressure, that puts me in very high risk. If I get it, I'm liable to die. And I don't want to die. And so, yeah, the people had pre-existing conditions, but had they not got coronavirus, they wouldn't be dead right now. They would still have the life, and they would be like that. So that's even to go that path is very cold-hearted. They say, well, you had a pre-existing condition, you know. So let's just keep on going with this. Okay, now.
Because the people across America are truly going to be stupid about this by refusing to wear masks. The coronavirus is more than happy to oblige their demand to give me death. And I hope I don't need to remind anyone that you're not free if you're a corpse. Want to defend freedom and beat the virus? Wear a mask in public areas such as the public transportation, retail stores, and workplaces. That's how we beat the virus and restore freedom in America, or just simply stay home.
Okay, and let me address that. So, you know, here's the point. We should wear masks, and it's not like this. It's not like I was looking at a couple of other stats. This virus is crazy. Yes, they're probably going to find out a lot more people had it that just didn't have symptoms. But they're having people die. They'll come to the hospital when they finally lost their breath, and they'll find out they've had pneumonia from coronavirus in their lungs for over a week. And it just doesn't alert them, even with shortness of breath, until it's really too late. And so you have people dropping dead like that. That's not like any kind of flu, anything. And like I say, yeah, it kills people with pre-existing conditions. If I didn't have a lung problem, you know, asthma from many, many years ago, being stupid when I was young and smoking cigarettes. I haven't smoked a cigarette since I was 29. I'll be 65 this year. But I have a pre-existing condition. I have two pre-existing conditions, maybe three. Point is, though, relatively, look at me, I'm in pretty good health, ain't I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than the fact that I have these, I mean, I work out, I keep track of my blood sugar, I do all the things. You know, but my wind goes short. We hear this on radio all the time, my wind going short. If somebody like me catches it, I have a strong chance of dying. Had I not catch the coronavirus and the regular flu, I'd be alive. There's a difference. A big shot. Anyway, and so folks really need to take this serious. If you're going to go out in public, you know, in stores and things, you need to start wearing masks. And even there's a trick on there. I know you're having a problem breathing. I mean, your glass is fogged up, but there's even a trick for that out there. Somebody's got a hack for it. I didn't look it up, but that's what it is. So that's what you need to do. This thing is not far from over. It's not far from over, and I don't care about the curves. And I think if they let people out too soon and they're not wearing masks and everything, I think it's going to explode again.
Well, there's already a second outbreak in China, and the CDC's already released a statement saying that they think the second outbreak in the States is going to be in August, September. So it's not going anywhere.
Right, and it's not going anywhere. And when you look at the numbers, and folks, I posted this sheet over there at prophecyhour.com. If you go to the pastor's page, you can read this report that Mike put out. And if you do the numbers like he did the numbers, daily numbers, then add it up, coronavirus is the leading cause of death. And in 2 months, coronavirus has killed more people than the flu that normally does in a year.
Right.
And so that's absolute. You need to take this serious, folks. You know, you have other people's lives in your hands. It isn't just about you. Here's the deal. So you folks out there, you might be a little, I don't want to wear a mask or blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Then it's all about yourself. You know, you being a Christian, you claim to be saved. Well, if people claim to be saved, but if you're saved, saved is being self-sacrificial like you should. What's the problem with sacrificing a little discomfort that you might not give somebody else the virus? Or you, because, you know, you yourself, if you're a healthy young person, you might not even have a symptom the whole time. But there's a lot of people out there like me and my wife and others that have pre-existing conditions, and that we would die. And so, therefore, you'd kill us. Yeah, of course you need to get the right mask or whatever, but the point is the point. You need to wear a mask. You need to do something.
Especially if you're sick or you're coughing, you need to wear a mask so you don't spread germs anywhere.
But even if you aren't,
sick. They're sick. There's so many people that are walking around with it. They don't know they have it and never know they have it.
And they ain't testing. And then the tests have it in them. So if you don't have it and you get tested, you could have it after you get your test.
Well, I haven't heard of that one yet. I have not seen any cases of that yet. We'll be on
the list. Well, there's been several reports.
When you see those reports, you need to send them to me so we can talk about them on the air, because you know me. I don't like to do anything that I can't point to and say, hey, folks, here's a report. You can go over and look at it. So then we try to be accurate, you know what I'm saying, because there's just too much misinformation out there. My goodness, if I believed every bit of misinformation, it's just like last week we did the program about the mark of the beast. It drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. People, oh yeah, they're gonna make the mark out of this. You're gonna force a biochip on you.
Can't be forced. Mark of the beast is a choice. The Lord gave you a choice. You either choose the Lord or choose the beast. You can't be forced into it. It's not the mark of the beast.
Right. And folks, if you're really worried about end time stuff, you should go over to Joel Richardson's page and get on his YouTube account. And or the Frontier Alliance International. Frontier Alliance International, they got some great Bible studies going on called the Maranatha Bible Studies.
Oh, they're wonderful.
And they're just fantastic, and they're so scriptural.
Dalton Thomas, is that his name? Dalton Thomas.
Dalton Thomas, yeah. Dalton Thomas. He's a pretty cool dude, and he lives on the Golan Heights with his wife and his two kids.
Now, I enjoy listening to both him and Joel.
Yeah, they're really good, and they're accurate. They use the Bible, and, you know, there's no if and buts about it. So if you want to know about the Antichrist, you want to know about the mark of the beast, go over there and visit Joel's page, or another one is called Frontier Alliance International. But if you go to Joel's trumpet, it's easy to find. You find that, and then you can go through that and do it. Or if you, hey, you can always send me a link, and if you send me a link, back that up. If you send me a text, I'll send you a link.
There you go.
To it. Okay. All right. Well, so look what time it is. You better tell them.
It looks like it's about time for the radio break commercial. So I think you can go over there to prophecyhour.com and find all of our contact information, everything about the ministry, about the radio, and everything's right over there. I think there's a little alien over there, too, that you can click on and get all that information.
If you click on that little alien that says greetings, it's a little green alien, and he puts his arm up, and it says greetings. If you click on that alien, he'll take you right to the contact page.
There you go.
All right. We'll be back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls as they don't know. Walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. Message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard ripe, the field is white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. They don't know. They're soon to
The Encyclopedia Britannica reports that the traditional customs connected with Christmas have developed from several sources as a result of the coincidence of the celebration of the birth of Christ with the pagan agricultural and solar observations at midwinter. In the Roman world, the Saturnalia was a time of merrymaking and exchange of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birth date of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the son of righteousness. Collier's Encyclopedia agrees by stating that, quote, after the triumph of Constantine, the church at Rome assigned December 25th as the date for the celebration of the feast, possibly about 320 AD or 353. The choice of December 25th was probably influenced by the fact that on this day, the Romans celebrated the Mithraic feast of the sun god Nautilus, Salus, and Victi. Both encyclopedias plainly reveal that the source of the celebration of December 25th is the birthday of Mithra, the pagan sun god. Sun worshippers since the time of Babel recognized this time of year in honor of their gods. First century believers taught personally by Christ did not celebrate his birth. Second century theologians condemned the thought. Only after severe persecution, destruction, and inaccessibility of Scripture and the blending of pagan doctrine with the worship of God was a Mithraic celebration of December 25th proclaimed to be Christian in nature. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Sister Linda, or Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're back, and I think I'll talk about the, well, we can go into it just like it is. But, you know, right now, we've been on this program, I always, ever since I've been on radio, and I told people, even when there's no crisis like that, people need to be prepared. You need to have a certain amount of food and so on and so forth. Well, I don't know how many people are heeding the warning, but I brought it up a couple of weeks ago. I said that, hey, it's going to be meat shortages. It's going to be meat shortages. And now this is what we're seeing.
Okay. Viral outbreaks at food processing centers. This has already happened. In South Dakota, while South Dakota did not have many cases of coronavirus overall, the one hot spot was the Smithfield Foods Pork Processing Plant. As BuzzFeed News reported, as many as 700 of the plant's 3,700 workers may be infected. In any event, the plant has been closed indefinitely.
Stop. Most people... Here, let's go back to this just to throw this in. 700 people gets it in a meat processing plant. They close the plant indefinitely. Now, if 700 people get the normal flu, do they close the plant and go out of business?
No, normally 700 people in one place don't all get sick at once.
Well, right, but even if they have 3,700 workers, and so, you know, not quite a fourth of them get it.
And there's even more. They haven't tested all 3,700. Just right now, they know that 700 of them might have it.
Right, but the point is that that's not like the regular flu.
But they've quarantined the whole 3,700 of them.
I assume that they have. Anyway.
Last week, the company announced it was closing two additional processing plants in Cudahy, Wisconsin.
Cudahy? I think that's Cudahy. That used
is
to
that
be
Wisconsin
a meat,
or Wyoming?
That's Wisconsin, but Cudahy, that used to be that's probably, you know, Cudahy Meats. You know, they used to, you know, there's a company called Cudahy Meats, just famous. But Cudahy, Wisconsin, and Martin City, Missouri.
Wow.
So there's two other plants. So now we have three plants done. And
then on Wednesday, Tyson's Foods closed an Iowa plant that is critical to the nation's pork supply, but has been devastated by a growing coronavirus outbreak, the New York Post reported. The plant accounts for about 4% of the total U.S. pork population production, and it, too, is now closed indefinitely. Also, the producers of Cargill and JBS have been forced to close plants, the Hill adds. Tyson is in Emporia, Kansas, as well as Extra, are in fight to stay open because they have the coronavirus. And Daniel's friend works up there at Hostess, and they had a bunch of people because he works right across the fence, and Rob's place has a bunch of cases. So that's Hostess Bakery that's...
Right. And so here's the point. Food shortage. But the point is, and yeah, somebody pointed out that the Smithfield, yeah, it's a Chinese-owned plant, but it's still a food processing plant, and we do use it. Here's the point. There's a lot of meat out there, and there's a lot of produce and things out there. There's a lot of those things out there, but the processing plants where the food and the supply chain is interrupted, you know. It's a poor time for farmers who have cows right now ready to go to be slaughtered because there's no place to process them. You might be able to do it locally, but we're going to see a dramatic, and I've been saying it over and over, you know. We've been on this from the first, saying the same things over and over. The point is that folks, there's going to be out of meat. So if you went and got some food yet, you know, have you went and got some food? You know, I've even heard that food banks, now I don't know about locally. How's the food bank going up there in Marion?
Well, we've got a drive-through there. I don't know. I haven't been.
You don't know how much food they
have. I
have
no idea, no.
Well, we'll check on that tomorrow, Friday, when we go over and check. But food banks, I've heard other food banks around the country, while they're having mile-long lines for people to get into them, they're also having shortages of food. You know, folks, what's going to be? There's going to be two kinds of people, the ones who have food and those who do not have food. So what are you going to be? You're going to be the one who feeds others, or you're going to be the one who needs to be fed? Coming down to two choices, and it's always been that choice. If you believe that, oh, the Lord's going to take care of you, well, he may do it, but you know how the Father takes care of you? He's not going to produce manna like he did out there in the desert. He's going to use somebody else to do it. So are you going to be the ones being fed or the ones that need to be fed? What is it you're going to do? And I still say you need to get long-term storage food. You need to plant your garden. If you can't get seeds, I told you where to get seeds at Heaven's Harvest, whatever government website, you'll see a link to it. But you need to pray about it, but you need to be stocked up. This is a birth pain. It's going to get better, and everybody's going to think everything's good, but then it's going to be worse. And there's other things coming.
And I really don't see a timeline for it to get much better because they're already talking about it hitting again in August. So, and it ain't not even over till July. So that's not even, that's what, the next month?
Okay, well, let's go with this. But there's other things happening in the world that compacts on top of this. See, that's what you should have said. When you see these things, when you see them together. So here's another one from Michael Snyder. Go ahead.
Okay, the next generation giant locust armies of biblical proportions threaten to cause mass starvation in Africa. Even before COVID-19 became the biggest public health crisis to hit the globe in decades, enormous swarms of locusts the size of major cities were devouring crops throughout eastern Africa, across the Middle East, and even in some parts of Asia. Now, a new generation that officials are describing as 20 times bigger has emerged, and the devastation that this new generation of locusts is causing is extremely alarming. The colossal locust swarms can travel up to 90 miles a day. When they descend upon a field, they can literally eat everything there is in as little as 30 seconds.
30
wow.
seconds. Well, that's a huge
wow.
number of locusts.
Wow.
So this is what they're doing. So, okay, go ahead.
This new generation of locusts has been spotted as far south as Congo and as far north as Iran and as far east as India. In other words, the food supplies of billions of people are at risk. Yesterday, I reported that the UN had used the phrase biblical proportions to describe the famines that are starting to happen around the globe as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, the phrase biblical proportions is also being used to describe these giant armies of locusts. While much of the world focuses on the coronavirus pandemic that has infected more than 1.6 million people across the globe, East Africa is battling the worst invasion of desert locusts in decades. A month-long scourge of biblical proportions that experts warn could get worse with a larger second wave already arriving in parts of the region. Heavy rains last month created ideal conditions for this next generation, of locusts, and we are being told that the new swarms are particularly severe in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia.
Okay, stop a second. Again, we've been reporting on this since it happened. These people are devastated over there, and then they have the coronavirus to be on top of it. But it's even the UN, which I don't like the UN, but even the UN is saying this is of biblical proportions, and that so combined with the coronavirus shortages of foods around the country, this is stacking up. Maybe one without the other might not be bad, but we're getting compounded to these things together. These are worldwide things. We're in a birth pain, and it's gonna get worse. And then it will ease up, and it will get worse. Ease up, worse. Get the picture, folks? Okay, let's finish this.
And now, at the worst time, a second wave of locusts 20 times bigger than the first has descended on the region thanks to heavy rains late last month. According to the FAO, the swarms have infiltrated Yemen and firmly established themselves across the Persian Gulf, having laid eggs along 560 miles of Iran's coastline. New swarms are particularly severe in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia. The timing is really horrendous because the farmers are just planting and the seedlings are just coming up now since it's the beginning of the rainy season, said Keith Cressman, senior locust forecasting officer with the FAO. And it's right at the same time when you have an increasing number of swarms in Kenya and Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, excuse me, there's already pictures and reports of the seedlings getting hammered by the swarms. So basically, that's it for the farmers' crops. Here in the United States, we have never experienced anything like this, and so most Americans don't really understand how destructive these locusts can be. Massive swarms of locusts are devouring entire fields of crops in as little as 30 seconds, fueling fears of a major food crisis in some of the world's poorest countries, in international aid organization concern worldwide has warned.
He said the poorest countries, it's a worldwide international organization, and it's concern worldwide. I have not heard of that one. I think it's UN connected. But, you know, the United Nations is going deep into this, and they're saying that this is causing a worldwide food crisis, a problem. And it says here also, it says, don't forget that the African swine fever has already wiped out approximately one-fourth of all the pigs in the world. So now there's something else. So we have crops, and, you know, we hear a lot of talk about pork, and we go, yuck, because we don't eat it. A huge proportion of the people rely on pork for their meat, and so it's going to cause a huge shortage, and already has. This truly has become a perfect storm for global food production, and many believe that what we've seen so far is just the beginning. You know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And so you say, well, those are places over there in Africa. It don't matter. Well, what about Australia? Read that.
After everything they've already been through, farmers in Australia are facing an enormous invasion of locusts as well, although it is a different species that they are dealing with. After a year of battling drought, fire, dust, flood, and disease, farmers in far western New South Wales are now facing a plague locust infestation. The Australian plague locust species, if not controlled, can cause significant damage to crops and pastures by consuming all in their path. It truly is a plague of biblical proportions, and despite all of our advanced technology, we are powerless to stop it.
Okay, so this, people, listen, we have Australia. Yeah, Australia had the biggest forest or fires that they ever had. When you looked at maps, it was almost like the whole country was in flames. It was horrendous.
Yeah, I remember all talking about all the animals that died in.
Yeah. We did talk about it. But here's the point. So now they have locusts. So they've now planted crops. It's spring. They planted crops, and here comes the locust. Mm-hmm. You know, these things are happening worldwide, all over at once. And then we won't even talk about all the volcanoes that are starting to
erupt.
Tornadoes that are out there and all these other things. These are not normal. They're normal by themselves, but it's not normally like this all at once. You know what I'm saying? And so, folks, you need to be ready. First thing you need to be ready with is between you and Yeshua. You need to make sure that you have the Son, and I mean really have a relationship. You need to have let's talk about salvation. Salvation, let's go like this. Yeshua says he was looking for living sacrifices, and it says those that lose their life shall gain their life. And people think, well, yeah, you got to die. Well, you do in a sense have to die. When you became saved, folks, let me ask you this. Was it changing you? Did your old self die and you take on a new persona? Did you start turning away from sin, or are you just going on and saying, okay, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus or Yeshua, and so now everything's hunky-dory? It doesn't work that way. There has to be a spiritual change in you. You have to be a different person. So the sacrifice part, you're dying. You are dying. That first part, when you become baptized, you go down in the water, and you die when you go down in the water. And then when you're brought back up, that's new life. So you become a new creation in Yeshua, and you're supposed to live your life that way. If that transformation hasn't happened, you need to look back in yourself. Because he doesn't guarantee, well, the blood of Yeshua saves us from a spiritual death. It doesn't mean that we're going to make it clear till it comes. You know, any of us could die tomorrow from the coronavirus or car accident or anything else, and then it's too late. You need to be right now. But especially in this, you need to be right. And you need to be making being sacrificial. Yeshua was sacrificial. You know, we say over and over, the reason that we take care of the people is because in order to help, well, not help, in order to serve Yeshua and the Father, you serve others. He says any time that you did it or not did it to the least of these, you either did it or not did it unto me. So here's the point. It's not supposed to be all about us. And like I said earlier, I was talking about is so it's going to make some people mad or something that they have to wear a mask to be safe, or to make, here's the big deal, or to make others safe. That's what you should do.
Yeah, it's about your neighbor.
Yeah, it says to love our neighbor as thyself. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? You don't know, like I was talking with somebody earlier today, you don't know. You could have the virus and not even know it, depending on your medical condition and how it affects you, but you can be a carrier. And then also goes with the people that you know. You could go on people, it goes on. So we need to be careful. This is far from over.
They said it was mainly spread by asymptomatic people. So, yeah, there's people that have it and don't have no symptoms, and they're spreading it.
But anyway, it says, and now here's the one from the UN, and I'll read this one. The coronavirus pandemic, it says, could lead to famines of biblical proportion, and the UN Food Agency warns. The global coronavirus outbreak threatens to worsen the existing food crisis around the world and create a hunger pandemic, the chief of the United Nations Food Program warned earlier this week. David Beasley, the director of the United Nations World Food Program, WFP, said the COVID-19 pandemic could lead to worst-case scenario in at least three dozen countries, about 265 million people pushed to the brink of starvation. There are no famines yet, Beasley said during a virtual Security Council session Tuesday, but I warn you, if we don't prepare and act now, and to secure access, avoiding funding shortfalls. Now, see, they're pushing for money. But the point is it's facing the worst humanitarian crisis since World War II. The wars in Syria and Yemen and the desert locust swarms in East Africa, along with more frequent natural disasters, changing weather patterns, and some of the most existing factors food insecure regions are facing. We are already facing a perfect storm. Biblical proportions. What part of getting prepared do you folks not understand? You need to be prepared. And I'm not just trying to sell food. Go out. My first objective is for you, go to the store. Try to get some things. Get some things that you normally eat. But get you some stock. Flour, beans, rice, things like that. A source for vitamin C, fruit, canned fruits, things like that. Get you some. You're practically every American that is a citizen is going to get a $1,200 check per person. Use some of that. Be wise. Use some of that money and buy some food. And you know what about food? You can always eat it. Right?
Unless it goes bad.
Well, be silly. If you buy some canned food or canned ravioli, it will last 10 years. I've seen some canned ravioli that's been around on shelves last that long. There's the point. So canned food, you can always eat it. Space it out. If we get through the crisis, there's nothing, just start eating it. That's what I say. The store is usually your best idea for stocking up because you buy what you normally eat, just more of it. So that way that, it won't go to waste. You always eat that can of ravioli or that can of chicken noodle soup, one of my very favorites, Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
I completely think different down a different line of path. I get flour and sugar and beans and rice and potatoes. I'd be cooking other stuff. I didn't eat out of no can.
But we do eat out of cans.
I don't hardly ever eat vegetables or anything out of a can unless I have to.
Right. And of course, water,
Oh, and don't forget the toilet paper.
Yeah, right. Anyway, you can get a bidet. But water is a big thing, and so you need to get you something that purifies water, because there's no way you can buy enough water for a year.
Oh, exactly.
If you did, you'd have to have a whole other house.
Have to have a regulated temperature where it wouldn't get too hot, wouldn't get too cold,
right.
Wouldn't freeze, blah, blah, blah.
And there's a real good one out there. It's called a Berkeley. We got one of them over at our house, and you can just Google Berkeley, and you can find a lot of people that sell those. The Prophecy Club sells them. And if they have the smaller bottles and things, there's got some pretty good ones over there at Heaven's Harvest. And if you go over at Heaven's Harvest and buy food, if you guys use the promotion code Dan, they'll give you a free seed book. But, so you need to have water. I think it's about a gallon of water a day for a person, I think, is actually supposed to drink. I'm just real not sure on that.
Yeah, 1 gallon per person is what I've always been told.
Yeah, so, just be smart, folks. you want to be one of the, yeah, and Yeshua can take care of you. Absolutely, I agree with that. But you want to be the one that has to be taken care of, or you want to be the one that takes care of.
Speaking of which, we should probably break into those 255-gallon drums of water that we've stored since Y2K and see what we need to do, replenish it.
The last time we opened it, that's because Florence has, that's why we don't drink Florence water, because we have a lot of chlorine in it. And so there is so much chlorine being in it that it's still sitting there. But here's the point. Let's switch to Mr. Church. Okay, we're gearing up, folks. While we took a couple of weeks break to step back and see things, we got to figure out how we can do it to step back. We're still working on some fine points. But what are we going to give out, Mom?
We're going to give out dinner plates.
Full dinner plates, a full meal and hygiene. In fact, you just went after hygiene items today, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and she got back to it. Like 5 till radio time.
Well, that happens once a month on the Thursday, because that's when I have to go pick up hygiene, so it's always that way.
Right. But anyway, so we're getting ready to go over there, so, you know, keep supporting us, because we're going back over there. While we took a couple of weeks break, we got pretty well figured out how we can do it and not have real contact that we can get infected or whatever. And so, folks, if you live in Wichita, yeah, we're still looking for clothes and different things like that. I got to figure out how we can do that. So just pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church.
You got to figure out how we can hand out clothes.
We'll talk about, okay. I'm not going to talk about it. It takes too long.
Yeah, I know.
You know, see, I shocked her. But, yeah, so amen. Anyway, so we're going to be able to give out things. We're going to take care of them. We're going to give out Bibles. I'm going to put Bibles out where they can get them. And if they want one by request, I'll hand them. I'll give them a Bible. And I'm even going to, I'm working on a Bible class for some of them. If they want it, I'm going to put some notes in their bags to see if they want to do that, and it's going to be a handout paper. But so we're going to be back there. We're going to be on the front line fighting it. Took a couple of weeks break. Pray for us that we stay safe and that people around us stay safe. And so, because, you know, we're taking a chance. We could just shovel in the house and just say, forget about it.
I got to go by and pick up the scriptures. I got somebody making scripture papers to put in the hygiene bags.
Right, amen. What's a scripture paper?
It's a piece of paper that has a scripture on it.
Right, and you just put it in bags.
And I just put it in the hygiene bag.
That's scripture. So we're working on a lot of things. Getting ready to mail out the newsletter. We need to come up with some money real quick for postage, because I'm wanting to mail it tomorrow. So pray about supporting the work that we did. You folks out there that have been supporting us for years, that are still sending funds in, we really appreciate it, because we couldn't have made it without you. So we really, really, really do appreciate those folks, you know. And they're all over the place. There's some in Texas and in Indiana and just everywhere.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. That's just to name a few. I don't know where all the mail rooms come to. And also the people that donate online. That keeps us going. So just thank you. You can donate online, or you can do it over the telephone. I got a guy that calls me and does a tip, and I take his card number over the telephone, and then we visit for a little while. So you can donate over the phone, or you can mail a check or mail order. The mail is still working, and it's running a little slower around here than normal, but the mail is still working. And you can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Anything you want to add into this? We've got about a minute before we have to
start. Yeah, the what we're going to need the most of when we go reopen is we're going to need to-go plates and bottled water, because that's what we're giving out, is a bottle of water with the go plates. So we'll need containers and water. We need.
Right, so first, give out the water. How much will that take?
That's probably going to be fair, because I can get 80 bottles for $6. So that's $6 for each day, because I probably won't do over 50, 60 plates.
So, yeah, and we'll do at least that. Okay, well, you'll tell them goodbye, and then I'm going to do our going out thing.
Okay, shalom, people.
All right, remember, if you need us, call or text. Remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Before I forget, folks, I've got a great new guest coming on with a great new book that you're going to want to hear about in the next hour.
Day 13 of Omar at dark.
Yeah. Remember, always be a blessing, goers. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, because there will be peace really nowhere until Yeshua returns. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.